Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
OMG, what a weekend, what a week.
We made it through the rain.
Have you ever heard the Mariah Carey song? Can I sing you something?
Yeah.
Please. Where she's like, I can make it through the rain. I can't stand up once again.
Is that what you were playing in the house as it was pouring?
You know what? All I'm grateful for when it rains is that it doesn't feel like just another day.
Sure. You love the rain, though.
Oh, love the rain.
Was it too much, though, last week?
Never. There's no such thing. No. When I first... So I bought a home. I bought a home in
Woo!
L.A.
Congrats!
Congratulations.
And I was looking as it was raining at my pool. And I was like, you know, I love the rain, but if that thing starts flooding, we're screwed. So I called. I'm like, who does one call when they're worried about something like this? Because we're just a bunch of chicks in the home, you know? And so I called the realtor and was like, what do I do? And she's like, well, like, it has a drain, but if you ever have something happen where you're worried about flooding, like, you need to go to Home Depot, get some sandbags. I'm like, who do you think you're talking to? I call my mom and she goes, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. You have insurance. I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, we don't do masculine things. But I did. I had ADT come. And, you know, I'm not messing around.
You're not messing around. Also, if we look this way, you guys, on the cameras, Lisa and Ocean are here. So, woo! So
hi, baby.
Knows.
Welcome. Ocean said to me when I told her we were coming to record the podcast today, she goes, Mom, you say a lot of bad words on the podcast. Oh. My mom's, and Gigi's going to wash her mouth out with soap.
Honestly?
I said, she better.
She better.
She better.
This is a cuss-free episode right here.
What, Mom?
Have I ever watched?
No, but that's what we say. We're a household full of threats. That's what we do. The name of the game is
Santa,
make everyone fear us.
Yeah.
But, like, don't call us on the poker face. Don't call my bluff because there's nothing. It's kind of like when I'm barking.
Right.
If someone really were to go toes, it would be like, and this is where I run. Where are my Hokas?
Not the Hokas.
What ADT. Were we talking about?
ADT, you got.
Oh, so I'm like, I love apartment living for one reason and one reason only. And that's because I like the amount of, like, security that you have to go through to get to one's apartment. And where I was living before, it was like gate after gate after gate. And you need a different code for each gate. And you need a different code to get into the place, to get into the elevator. And then you got to get up to the top floor and choose my apartment out of all the apartments that are up there, which there's a lot. So I liked the odds of me getting robbed versus not getting robbed. I was like, I feel like the odds are in my favor. Now we are in a home where I'm feeling a little exposed. We got a gate, We're all good. We got the codes and codes. But I'm like, we need to be stacked.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to shout out ADT because they came in, and I'm not even joking you guys. The amount of stuff that they were like, I think you need this, and here's why. Okay, I don't mess around with safety. I got a kid. I got a mama. Like, sell me on anything. Like, I don't think of them as, like, used car salesmen. I'm like the breakaway window stuff. So if someone tries to break the window instead of opening it, like still ringing to the police.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's movement in the house and that person weighs over 25 pounds. And I've set that to away. We're not home. Calling the police.
Right. What if they weigh under 25? Then
who's coming in to rob me who weighs less than 25 pounds?
That's true. And if they do, you could self-defend.
I feel like I could take that motherfucker. Okay. Anyway, being a homeowner is very strange and weird, but also awesome.
And exciting, and congrats, because literally, what a freaking boss bitch move.
Right? Two homes.
I mean, that's incredible. I got two homes.
Is that a song?
Well, two phones by Kevin Gates.
Oh.
I got two homes.
I like it. And Ocean loves it.
Yeah, it's
she
stunning,
says,
buy
too. New home.
She does.
She's
and yesterday,
got a playroom.
She was just.
You like rainbows?
She likes rainbows.
Do you like running around the house too?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was taking laps yesterday.
Oh, she's talking about rainbows because she's got a producer, John, bought her a bag of Skittles. Thank you for that, producer, John.
You got.
Anyway, so I don't know what the point of that was that I was telling you that we bought the new home.
Talk about the rain. And
the rain. Mm-hmm. So as long as it didn't flood. But also for Super Bowl Sunday, I was really, really excited to fill the home full of people to watch the game.
So fun.
And for a moment, I'd invited like Easton and his friends over. Some of my friends, they like the party. They don't want to come to a house. But like the Bo and the Stoss, they're totally down to come to the house and have a chill time. So a week and a half ago, I invited them to come to the house. And then I was feeling a little stressed. I'm like, I feel like I'm not prepared to like host anything. So then everyone aborts mission, mostly because I cancel.
She canceled.
She did?
No one aborted.
I canceled.
Here's the thing that she does.
I canceled.
And when she stresses, the one thing that you don't do is add more to it. So she goes, so she canceled Bo and Stassi. So when she did that, I was like, I'm not going to throw more on her and bring my friends. So I made other plans. And then we're on our way home and she's like, well, everyone's canceled on me. And I was like, whoa, let's get this straight. So then she immediately texts Bo and Stassi on the phone and she goes, they're coming. So I was like, all right, I'll bring the homies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone came over. We had a stacked house. Lisa was a savage. She spent the entire week moving her Utah house because they, Easton and my mom sold the Utah house. So they spent all week moving in Utah. They got in Saturday night, and Lisa pulled together a fantastic Super Bowl Sunday spread
for
everybody.
That she did.
Easton was a tremendous help.
That's so fun. I'm glad you guys had a good time.
It was nice. Got some pizza. It was easy. Costco was a shit show. If anyone was at that, it was a nightmare.
I love Costco, but it's a shit show before events and holidays.
Anything, yeah.
Well, especially when you're choosing Super Bowl, like, the day of.
Yeah.
Well, we had no choice. We got in Saturday at
11. I know. And I told everyone the night before that I was like, okay, I feel like we can pull this together. The game was a little snoozy until it totally wasn't snoozy at all.
I got to say, I don't think it was snoozy the entire time
because
it was so close.
Game.
What? The first half?
It can be but that was such a boring game.
Oh, I was just like into it. Haven't you ever watched a Super Bowl where it's like, oh, they're going to win clearly. This is boring. By like halftime show, you're like, eh.
You know, most Super Bowls and games, I'm creating my own personal roster, so I don't really care what the score is.
Oh, my Lance.
I'm like, am I going to be?
Just stop it right there. Stop it right there.
But this game, it was a little snoozy, even though it was like a close game, whatever. Mm. And I was kind of sitting there thinking, like, I love Ursher, but I don't know that I'm excited for him to be the halftime performer. And
Ursher.
Peace out,
Easton. Are you joking?
Okay.
Me right
I don't know. I'm thinking,
I'm about to bitch slap you. It's Usher. But everyone says Ursher. Just like when they say, we're going to the club.
Yeah.
Ah, the R. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something today.
It's okay. You're stupid. I'm just kidding.
I need to kind of get a little more involved in that one.
I'm joking. But I was actually really, really pleasantly surprised. I thought the halftime show was iconic. When Ludacris came out and Lil Jon.
Right.
Lil Jon looking kind of fine.
Really?
A little bit. In
Usher,
all leather.
His Off-White That was Off-White.
Was it?
Yeah.
Lil Jon's.
Usher's, like, Black and Blue.
Oh, that was sick.
It was Off-White.
Oh.
Yeah, shout out.
That's awesome.
So good.
Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought the whole performance was amazing. Her coming out.
I did like it more than most.
Than you thought you would?
Yeah.
I mean, last year was what, Rihanna?
That might have been my top. What is your all-time favorite Super Bowl performance? Because mine might be Rihanna. For a while, it was the Britney Spears and Aerosmith. That was, like, iconic. But now I think
isn't that
Rihanna.
When he was, like, flying in on the...
Oh, it was like so fucking good. Her, so good. Sorry.
It's fine.
Sorry.
It's fine. It's fine, Jessica. I've said
already,
it, too.
She
it's
all good. One rip.
No, my most favorite game and halftime performance of all time was San Francisco, Baltimore. And Beyonce was
Beyonce.
The performer. It was,
right.
like...
That was good.
That was the most fun I've ever had for a Super Bowl because my sister-in-law was born and raised in San Francisco, so she's hardcore 49ers. We love the Baltimore Ravens. And then, like, my idol, the icon, the queen of all queens, is the halftime performer. Done. Nothing will ever beat
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, but then there was the Dr. Dre 50. That one was so good.
That was one
too.
Of my most favorite halftime performances. If we're strictly talking about the halftime performance, that was legit.
Kendrick. Oh, that was good. Wait, maybe that's one of my top. I don't know.
I don't even know who played in that Super Bowl.
I don't either.
And Fofty coming down like such a beefcake.
With the Rams? It was producer John's.
He was
yelling
like, one of the biggest things I regret is doing that.
What? 50 said that?
Well, yeah, because it was like the iconic right. in the club where his first single where he drops from the ceiling, but his body's a little different now. Hot still. Very hot. Get on top of me. Either way, I'll take you then. I'll take you now.
Sure.
I'll take you 500 years ago. Don't care.
Get on top of you. I feel like you should get on top of him, though.
I'm horny today.
I can tell.
Wow, that's amazing. This will be a fun episode.
I put together my vibrator drawer in the new house.
Okay, why and when and for what?
What do you mean for what?
Well, what do you mean?
That
like,
was the one thing she was afraid
drawer?
Of.
It was.
Because we were clearing out her house and she goes, no one go through that drawer.
My bedside tables used to be massive in the apartment and the room was tiny. Teeny tiny, but I've got this window in my bedroom. So the way the bedroom's situated is my nightstands have less like drawer space.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the nightstands is just strictly for her pleasure.
That's great.
It is.
How many does one need?
Are you joking?
No.
You guys.
How many toys does one need?
At least a few because you're in like a different
mood every time?
Sometimes. The ones I don't, the ones that scare me are the ones that look like bunny rabbits and like they're like, I don't use those because I get scared.
What?
I mean, big and they've got like ears. They're like
Jessica, draw it.
They're like this and then they've got like ears.
Oh, is that for the butt?
Oh, I have one of those.
Oh, is that the
if you can see, these are the vibrators I don't like.
Oh, the clit tickler, right?
Clit
tickler. Isn't that what that is?
And the asshole.
I got.
What about the one? Because the one that scares me, it looks like it.
The dildo that I got?
I don't know. Oh, that.
Which one?
I don't know. That could take out.
Didn't I show you at the office?
The purple one?
The one that you turned down. You're like, I don't know about that one.
No, I was like, that is not up for grabs. It's coming home
with me. That thing is a weapon. I saw that. I was like, there's just no way.
No. Well, that is a weapon.
And that's when I said, there's no, how do, as a man, looking at that, how do we compete?
I can't.
Shocked.
And then I saw one that had like an orca tail. And I had no
orca
idea.
Orca tail.
And it was, you told me it was for the clit. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, does it, well, that's on the dildo.
Yeah.
How many arms does that thing have?
So it's just like the long part like that.
Yeah.
And then it has the thrusting motion, okay? Then
yeah,
it's got this,
she turned
like,
it on for
ribbed
me too.
Beating. Then it's got this ribbed beating that, like, moves, right? And then it's got this other piece that vibrates for the...
A man
cannot compete. When you get this toy...
You assume that thing would be for torture back
I
in the
have
day.
To be fully honest, torture. Lala. I don't know how that even... goes near your body because I've seen Lala's vagina and she's got the teeniest, tiniest little vagina. Sorry, and I do not know how that toy even is anywhere near that.
Sorry. Easton, if you need to throw up, I totally get it.
My bad, Easton. I forgot you were here.
All right, let's get back. Let's get back to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, so how do we feel about the commercials, you guys?
Oh, I thought they were pretty good.
I thought they were good. I thought they were good. Yeah. I liked the Dunkin' Donuts one with...
I liked the Dunkin' Donuts one,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. Funny. Maybe a little cheesy, but everybody that was in it was great. And like J-Lo looking at Tom and just saying, but you can stay.
What was like the vibe of that, by the way?
I don't,
was that like you're good at singing or was that like you're hot?
He's like the DJ like, and he's just hot.
Oh.
I think that's like you're Tom Brady.
Oh, you can stay.
Spicy.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I was a little underwhelmed.
You were?
By just that one or all of them?
Just, I feel like halftime commercials back in the day were so...
You didn't miss the commercials. You'd miss the game to go to the bathroom.
Super Bowl
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like back
I just
in the day.
Don't feel... Like, you have iconic people in them. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that the one with Ice Spice was so stupid.
I don't even know if I saw that one.
I don't know if I did
with
either.
With the drink, the...
What brand?
I couldn't even tell you. I thought it was Sprite, but it's not. No. It's a different lemon-lime drink.
Can we talk about what type of budget Verizon had to get Beyonce?
Well, I want to talk about this because I was wondering how much celebrities get paid. And it said there was like a baseline of $10 million. And I'm like, I just don't buy it. I just don't. I'm sorry. I don't think Ice Spice is getting paid what Jennifer Lopez is getting paid.
Yeah.
Or Messi.
Yes.
Or right.
Messi.
Exactly.
I mean,
so let's use that as the example. Who was that for? Michelob?
No. Let me see. I'm pretty sure it was... Yeah. I think it was
Beer.
Michelob.
And who was paid. In it? Who was in it? Messi?
Messi and I don't even know.
Sudeikis, right?
Jason Sudeikis was?
Wasn't he?
Yeah. I just saw Messi and I literally looked up immediately how much he was getting paid for that commercial and I didn't even see anybody else. But he got paid...
I'm going to Google this.
Real nice. $14 million.
$14 million?
For 30 seconds. He gets paid... $14 million for that 30 second, and that, and they have to pay for the spot.
Ah, what?
Like, think of that. They just had to pay him to use that, and now you still got to pay for the spot. And I think the spot's like $7 million for. How much was it?
It was
John?
With Dan Marino.
Do you know how much position was like a commercial spot?
No, I don't know the exact price.
Like how much it costs to get a Super Bowl spot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. But I do know that the halftime performers do not get...
$7 million for 30 seconds.
$7 million for 30 seconds? That's like pocket change for some
of
these,
people, yeah.
For these brands. It's like...
it's just crazy.
Not even a thought.
It's just crazy.
But the super or the halftime performers don't get paid. They only have their production costs covered, which can run up to like $15 million.
Really?
But they don't get paid.
But think how many people are today playing like Usher.
Yeah. Yeah,
Usher.
That's true.
Like now...
Usher, baby.
Mm-hmm. I loved his set.
No, it was great, and I thought he did well.
I didn't admit this at the beginning of the show. I didn't watch the halftime performance. How messed up is that?
Yeah, but
not that messed up, because I only watched a little. And then I went outside and played basketball. Mm-hmm.
On the real, though, I had a call time for something on Sunday, and I said to Jessica, that's Super Bowl Sunday. Like, we have to like, I'm not... doing this until 6 p.m. on Super Bowl Sunday. And so we started work at 6 a.m., wrapped at 3. Jessica says to me, I think I'm just going to like go on a hike. And I got depressed for her.
It
was
just got
so
depressing.
Too. And then people that were on set, I was like, I hope you guys can like go and enjoy the game now. And they're like, nah.
A couple guys I heard talking about it.
The sound guys, right?
Yes.
But then again, Super Bowl hits different because you were talking to one of my homies and we said that we stopped watching football and sports when we moved out here.
Right. That's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
So I was saying it's weird because so many people in LA don't really watch sports. And I remember growing up in Utah, Easton, you were in the same household, so you know, like it was Monday night football, Thursday night football, Saturday was for college, and we had Sunday football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was constant. And then most nights during basketball season, basketball was playing.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in a very, like, sports-heavy household. When I moved out to L.A., I just stopped watching because it was like no one cared about sports. And so I was talking to you, East, and a couple of your friends, and they were saying what?
After moving out here, you just kind of stop watching because most games, and this is how I felt, because most games are like East Coast.
Right.
And then there's only a couple over here. But like East Coast, they start at like 4.
Yeah.
And so I'm not watching a basketball game at 4. So once I get home and I'm like relaxing, like there's only one game on. And if it's not a team I'm interested in, I usually won't watch or I'll just have it background. But now it's just like to the point where I don't know. I'm more go, go, go. I'm going to your place or doing stuff with friends. So it's just like I've fallen off of the sports. Like I don't care as much to go and watch sports. I'm doing other things.
Mm,
and it was right. Like I feel like in Utah there wasn't as much going on.
It was also frigid.
Frigid. Mm-hmm. So like you don't go out. You stay inside or you go to a bar and you watch sports.
Here
it's like
point,
you go
yeah.
on a hike after or you get outside. And I've lost touch with sports. I really have. Like I'll look up scores and
I would like to not
things,
though.
But
I would
agree,
like
but
to not. I like the way a sport on the television makes me feel. I like the vibe of the household.
Hey.
Hi, baby.
Hi, Goof.
So you didn't watch the halftime show?
I didn't watch the halftime because I did end up going on a hike, oh, came home, got some stuff situated, and then turned it on right as it was the halftime show was ending. But that was great because... So that's why I didn't think the game was boring, you guys, because I didn't
watch
the first half.
You didn't watch the second half. And the second half is when
it's
it popped off.
It's a great game. It's like, yeah,
I was like, I didn't think it was boring at all.
It was so boring. And then Stassi was like, Messer is getting, like, it was 6:30. It was time for his bath. And Bo starts putting the stuff away. And I was like, where's Bo? Kansas City finally scored. And he was putting baby stuff in the car. And
no.
She was like, I'm the worst wife. Don't tell him. I was like, well, he's going to walk in
here
and probably
see
the playback. So it was like the interception for the touchdown. I felt so bad.
Bo comes in, he takes his hat off, starts rubbing his head, and he goes, yeah, no, I don't give a shit.
I was like, I can take you home, Bo.
He, in fact, gave a shit.
He was like, I know. He had a Taylor Swift shirt on. Everyone at my house wanted the Niners.
Yeah.
This is how I look at it, Easton, because mom was like, well, we live in California. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
No, you just
That's like
the
University of Utah not making it into something, and then it's that team versus BYU. Are you going to be like, well, I really want BYU.
No.
Right.
No!
Anybody plays BYU, I'm rooting for anybody
the
else.
The opposite team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Bo right. had Taylor Swift shirt on, and then he had a Rams hat, colors that said F the Niners.
Oh, that's funny.
He goes, I've stopped going to Rams games when they play the Niners. Cause it's insufferable.
It's just Niner Nation.
I like how you do his voice. It's hilarious.
I love him. He doesn't sound like that. So we can agree that snoozy first half, pleasantly surprised by the halftime show. Commercials could have been better, but iconic people, so we're going to let it slide, except Beyonce's Verizon.
Beyonce.
No budget
I'd
in the world.
The Verizon come. I think I
Oh, you got to look it up. It's like
I didn't. It was fan. It was really
was
good.
Good.
I have to say that must have been, that's another thing too. How many shooting days? At least a few. So you've got Beyonce, I don't know. I just
Did
like,
you see Beyonce in the box?
Yeah.
No.
And Jay-Z?
Oh my, she looks so good. She's got this blonde. And the way it was like bombshell hair.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, you are like really hitting different right,
right.
now. Okay, so game ends. I didn't watch overtime.
I fell asleep in it.
No, I got the most excruciating headache that I had to go and sit in hot water.
That's wild.
At that point, I didn't even care who won, who lost. I just had to like get rid of the headache.
It was that bad. We talked about it earlier. Why do you think it was that bad?
I didn't drink enough water.
Mm-hmm. I get headaches like
Hi,
that,
baby.
Too.
But obviously, I saw this morning that the first thing Travis Kelce said to Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
She loved it. Do you love Taylor Swift?
Let's go to Taylor Swift.
What's your favorite song by Taylor Swift?
Shake It Off.
Can you give us a sample?
Can you sing it?
I say I'm too late. That's Shake It Off, right? Yeah.
No. Is it?
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Got Nothing in My Brain. Yeah, that's what people say. Shake It Off. Okay. So after he's done giving his speech or whatever, where he's like, you gotta fight for your right to party. By the way, I had no idea he's a ginger.
You didn't?
Nope. Had no idea he had red hair.
Oh, but it's interesting.
Still
I didn't
hot.
Either.
Still hot.
Hot, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the way the sun hit the beard, and I was like, oh, we're a redhead.
Yeah.
All right. He said, come here, girl.
Girl.
So hot.
So hot. I turned off my mic. But
that's how hot she just got.
Oh my God, the hottest thing a man can say to a woman, in my opinion, is come here. It doesn't even have to be girl after, even though that makes it hotter. Come here? Come here?
You come here. Come here.
Not
come everywhere.
But I wanted to know, Easton, because I missed overtime, what is this whole thing about Taylor Swift's favorite number and 13 being in the mix?
Well, I also fell asleep during overtime, but I saw that Taylor Swift's favorite number is 13 and then everything connected to this conspiracy. So Taylor Swift, these are her stats for 13.
Okay.
Her flight to the Super Bowl was 13 hours.
Okay.
I believe it was from Tokyo or something like that. Me and John were talking about it. That is, we don't know. But the flight was 13 hours. We do know that. It was her 13th NFL game.
Okay.
They were playing the 49ers. 4 plus 9, 13. Super Bowl 58, 5 plus 8,
whoa!
13. And then this is where it gets crazy on the last play of the game. This is what I woke up for, 13. The last play of the game was snapped at 6 seconds.
Okay.
It was 1st and 3, and they got the 3 yards for the touchdown. If you add 6, 3, 3, 1, you got 13.
I'm bad at math. I will take your word for it. Does that equal 13?
Does that equal 13, John?
6, 6.
There we go. We got the thumbs up. OMG. That
Wait,
is wild.
Wait, 6, 6, 6, 3?
So, yeah, it was snapped with 8, 6.
That's 19.
No, 6 plus 3.
Oh.
Plus 3 plus 1.
13.
That is 13. I was going.
Yes.
Okay, can I be like devil's advocate for a second?
Yes. Yeah. Don't piss me off.
You could kind of make that, like, I could have done that with, like, if those numbers didn't work, I could say the guy who scored the touchdown, his number was 85. Like, I feel like you could make it work.
But, well, no shit, Jessica.
Well, yeah, you could make it work in any way.
I can't make
but like, if it was just that one play equal 13, it would be like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that the 49ers, 58, her flight, her 13th NFL. It's just very, very weird how that all comes
You're
to
not
be.
A true Swiftie.
Oh, 13. No. Yes, I am. Yes,
Is
I am.
Is everyone's new favorite number 13? All the Swifties should be wearing 13. John's
I don't
even
really have
a
favorite
approval.
Number.
Really?
You
it don't?
Was 8 for a while.
Mine
I was
is 8.
Obsessed with Kobe Bryant. Let's 8? Stick with it then. Let's stick with 8.
Yeah, 8 because Kobe and Infinity and my birthday month is 8.
All right. Well, let's stick with it. So I have 2 game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part? Zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right, moving on from Super Bowl talk, let's jump into reality television.
Oh, my favorite.
Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah.
Because we didn't get to talk at all last week.
No, we didn't get to come into the office.
We ran the Dos Amigas episode because we could not make it into the office. And yes, those of you who have to chain their tires because of snowstorms and blizzards, we don't know how to drive in the rain. And it was scary.
Also, the one thing that moving from Utah to here and being like, they're idiots, this isn't...
It's not built for weather.
There it is. Yeah. We don't have drainage for all the rain that we're getting.
Exactly.
That's the one thing I found out. So it's not like we can't drive. We literally can't drive because the city isn't.
You guys, I was going over the hill after like the storm had calmed, and on Mulholland and every single canyon
closed.
There were like boulders and like houses kind of in the middle of the road.
Remember when you told me to leave your house?
Yeah.
When you were like, I'm worried, I want you to leave now.
Yeah.
When I was leaving, I was passing and they were closing down the canyon. Like they were putting, as I was about to, like I was going to the freeway, but I drove past it and they had like blockage because it was like rain, shit was in the road.
It was horrifying. I got stuck in a puddle, which by the way, I know I've always heard. Turn around or whatever if it's raining for flash floods. But I legit was driving home from the gym and I was like, that puddle doesn't, like I had to drive through it, doesn't look too bad. I freaking almost got stuck. It went like, whoom, my car went right in. And then I was like, oh my God. And I was pushing on the gas
Patriot?
To get out.
Yeah.
The Patriot.
My bottom bitch got stuck.
But is she here today?
She is here.
The Patriot.
I saw her in the parking lot.
She is a Patriot too.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. What should we start off with? Should we start with Miami?
Oh, okay. So not Vanderpump first.
No, we'll do Vanderpump last.
Okay.
All right. So they went, you guys know I love a moment with a higher power. So a new episode airs tonight. So we'll do 2 weeks ago. Alexia wants to take everybody to Guadalupe, which is Jesus's mama. And she says that Guadalupe is the reason why Frankie is okay. Like, she attributes Frankie being okay to Guadalupe. And with everything that Gertie is going through, she takes the group there. And they have a really beautiful moment, actually. Like, even Gertie in her confessional was like, something happened in that church that I cannot explain. And I will remember it and cherish it forever. And I really like those moments on reality TV shows because it's such a heavy environment at all times that sometimes we forget, like when there's the bickering as outsiders, we're watching a show. Like there are times where I'll have people come up to me when a season's airing, right? And they'll be like, for example, like fuck Sheena or fuck Katie or fuck James, whatever it may be. And I'm like, oh, please don't talk about my friend that way. Like, yes, we have our ups and downs that you watch on television, but like you don't get to say that about my fucking friends, you know?
Yeah.
So it's nice when you see that these people go at each other and then you have a moment of them being like, no matter what goes on, this is a moment that like forever, when this is all done, I will hold this close to my heart. Anyway, so that happened. Love Guadalupe. I want to go there.
Me too.
The church was stunning.
Yeah. And it's just, I've heard that there's a certain sort of like, I don't know why, but like spiritual power there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Julia had a different experience. So, Ethan, I don't know if you probably didn't know this, but Julia, the last time she was in church was when she was begging for answers because she had a son. This woman came to her door to take care of her son as like a nanny. And I believe it was 6 weeks. I don't want to misspeak. 6 weeks later.
The shaking baby syndrome.
Yes. She said, I remember going to church, begging for answers, and I never got them. The only thing that kept me alive from not taking my own life was my little Cocker Spaniel. So she said, I have my animals, that is my church when I'm around them. And for me, it's like, your higher power can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
you can sit down in the park with your animals for an hour, and that's you going to your church.
100%.
As long as you just take time to believe in whatever you believe in and preach it, or not even preach it. Let me put it this way. Like, take time to sit down and feel it, or what's a good way to put this?
Like, just like get in touch with it. Yeah. Like
taking time to get in touch and to feel whatever
you can't explain.
Connect.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Connect to whatever you are doing. If you take the time out, doesn't matter when it is, but that is your church. I don't care what you believe in or how you believe in it. But if you take the time and do it, that's, for me, that's a huge, you know, like, okay, I can respect you because you take that time.
Mm.
And that's what I, like, I loved, like, hearing her, because I actually did, like, feel it when she was like, my animals are my temple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was like, damn, because my dogs, when I wake up any day, like, I take 10 minutes and I just lay in my bed with them.
Yeah.
And, like, every
and it's
day,
a feeling you can't really explain.
I can't explain it, but, like, there's a lot of feel in them. And I feel like my dad.
Mm.
Because they were a lot, you know? So there's just like feeling. And when she said that, like, I got emotional.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, okay. There's people that also do that. So I'm glad that she said that and all of that. So,
yeah, we're not going to all find answers in the
same
thing.
No, you can't.
That's what we talk about that in AA a lot. Like, when you go to AA, it's very heavy God talk, and sometimes it turns people off. But you have to kind of put your guard down to hear the message, because it's like, hold on, we're not talking about God in the sky. We're talking about something that you feel is more powerful than you. It could be the tree.
Your definition of God.
Right. It could be your animals. It doesn't matter. When we're talking about God, that is a personal thing to you. And the moment that someone brings that up when they're talking, you know exactly who your God is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've heard, what is it? I'm going to butcher it. But God is the name. Guys, I'm going to butcher it. It was something like God is the name, is the blanket term for an energy, to put around an energy we can't describe. Something
love
like
it.
That.
I like
but,
that.
Mm. You know what
you
I love
that
about?
Well, if, for not knowing what you were saying. Beautiful.
You didn't butcher it. You recreated it, if that's not it.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
I love that this podcast,
I'm
we can
here,
go from like coming all over our faces
Jesus.
To like talking about God.
Do you like to come on ladies' faces, Easton?
Oh, no, I don't want to know.
Oh,
I don't want to know.
Hearing like, about
all right,
your vagina.
I didn't do that. That's Jessica's
yes,
fault.
That is. All right.
Okay, so let's move on to Lisa. Lenny comes with an offer to Lisa. He's going to buy her a home. It has a gorgeous view. However, it needs to be renovated. She's about to sign the deal. Everyone's on board. Lawyers, Lenny, Lisa. She gets a phone call. Cameras are not allowed to capture the phone call because Lenny wouldn't allow it. And comes with this. There's strings attached. The only way I'm going to do this for you, a man can never reside in the home with you permanently.
Oh,
what a
sick.
And she said, right, how sick. And
sick.
She goes, well, what about your mistress? And he goes, well, Lisa, like, I'm paying for this stuff. And it's just wild to me how quickly things can change. 1 minute, you're like sleeping next to this person who you're in love with. You have a family. You create this beautiful life. And the next, it's like, found a new one. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And you can't
and
have
I'm
a man.
And I'm still going to control everything because I've got the money. But, like, my mistress is going to be around and, like, kicking it with the kids. But, like, not for you. Only for me. Because why? I'm rich. And you're not. It is.
Disgusting.
Yes. But the thing is, we can't make people undisgusting. Mm-hmm. Right? We can only control what we can control. What can we control? We can control ourselves. So people can call me wounded all day long, and you're going to find love, and you're going to find this, and X, Y, and Z. Let's remember, humans are humans, okay? So for me, it's like, yes, live your happily ever after. Believe in that wholeheartedly. But always make sure that you're teed up on your own, because this guy could die. He could lose his job. He could leave you. There's a million and one scenarios we could come up with. He could be sued for all the money in the world. You better be prepared to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just another reason why I tell bitches, stack your freaking coins.
Yeah. Preach.
Larsa says to Lisa that she would regret if she lost Jody because Lisa is needy and no other man would put up with her crap. Lisa takes offense to this and calls Larsa a bully. I really find it very interesting, and I think we've talked about this before, when women have been in long-term relationships, they go south. I believe we've spoken about this in another episode, but I'm going to talk about it again because it's relevant here. And then they meet a guy, and they're like, he just made me believe in love again. I'm like, give him 15 years. I'm sure he'll fuck you over in some way.
15 years?
All right?
Give him a couple of months.
Well, she was with Lenny for 15 years. Yeah. It's kind of like when Sheena says, you know, we love Dan. He's way better than Sandoval. Like, as long as, you know, he hasn't had sex with one of her best friends, so he's winning. And it's like, well, it's been 3 months. Let's give him 10 years. I'm sure
he'll fuck
up in some way.
Like,
it drives me crazy. If I were to meet a man right now, and let's just say we're filming, and they were like, has he made you believe in love again? It's like, well, I mean, we're like having a good time.
I enjoy
it. But I'm not an idiot. Like, right. Tomorrow could be different. Do I hope that this is a different situation? Yes, but like, people are people. So like, let's just stick to the now. Right now, I'm happy. But I'm not going to say, he made me believe in love again. He's so great. I'm going to give him some years because I'm sure he'll do something to piss me off. And I'm sure I'll do something to piss him off, too.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you'll give him the reason.
Because I'm a real gem at the beginning.
Woof.
And then I'm not. All right, moving on. This is my favorite. Shit hits the fan on the gondola.
It sure does.
Jessica, go for it. Take over.
Shit does hit the fan. I have a couple things that I focused on for that, right? So Lisa throwing food to the dogs off the boat. Okay, so quickly in my brain, I thought, oh, I might do that too. Just a little chicken or like something I know the dogs can have. And then that switched because I'm like, oh, that's actually very ignorant. And like you could tell the gondola driver was very uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she really doubled down.
I think it was the doubling down that was hard.
That's what it was. Versus being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I wasn't even thinking. Like, what am I doing? What an idiot.
Like, when I see dogs, I want to throw them treats. And I wasn't thinking. And that was an ignorant moment. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was something where I was like, and I had immediately switched. And like I said, in our bonus episode last week, one of my biggest pet peeves, non-negotiables, is like when people don't take the... not the help, but like the employee or whatever into consideration. Like you saw the gondola driver, you saw how he was reacting. Like look at him and be like, oh my God. And like take that into consideration. And she
read the room.
Read the room.
And
read the gondola.
Yes. Read
read the gondola.
I mean, I have like points. So if I'm skipping around too much, just tell me.
No, go through your bullet points.
I put the Lisa yelling scene gave me so much anxiety. I agree with Larsa. Seems like Lisa losing it over the juice boxes. Oh, yes, something much deeper, which we end up finding out it is. But I'm sitting because I'm making notes in real time and I'm like, something's going on. Lisa's losing it over a juice box. Where did they even get the juice
box? You assaulted me.
And I was like,
then can I tell you, my daughter assaults me every day. Every day I'm assaulted.
But I felt like my heart went out to her because she's losing it over juice box. I have done that before. Are you kidding me? Where I'm like in an argument with Kyle over some and I hear myself. I'm like, you know, and you put my socks in that drawer and you don't care. Like right. They obviously go in the top drawer and it just shows you don't care. And he's right. Like, you're losing.
I can put myself in her spot and even drunk.
Yeah.
Drunk me. Like going through.
Drunk you is a real special thing to deal with.
We've all done it before, right? Where there's something deeper and you just, the one little thing throws you over.
Well, not only, so the juice box, her feeding the dogs, and then the signings of the paper.
She's feeling ganged up on, and then she also has a lot going on at home.
Yeah, so then she breaks down over the signing of the divorce papers. And so I was like, oh, there it is.
There it is.
There it is. Cry it out. Yeah. And then the last bullet point I made was Island of the Dolls, I thought was creepy. And I know it's but I might be being completely ignorant, by the way. This might be some sort of like beautiful. I know.
Well,
like,
they explained it.
Yes.
The little girl.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty.
Drown in that lake.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. River. Is it a river?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah.
And the man who lived there and watched it was traumatized, and he kept seeing this girl in his dreams. So he put dolls all around so that she, when her spirit came back, had something to play with. Creepy.
He made you.
And it's a beautiful, it's not even a beautiful story. I'm sorry. Just creep me out. It's the fact that the dolls were naked. It's the fact that they were hanging
from like their head. Like if he were just to like put them up in a different placement, it wouldn't be as creepy.
You guys, they were naked. They had no limbs. Yeah. They were missing eyes. They were, it was weird.
Well, how long had they been
there? And put flowers up.
That's
true. Yeah, and put flowers up.
How long had they all been there? Like, was this in 1950?
Right. Because
some of those dolls looked
real. I don't know. Marisol was like, it smells like death. I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Everyone was really creeped out.
I didn't like that. So there's that.
All right. Well, to piggyback off of that.
Let's hear it.
So, in last week's episode, they go to the gondola and it picks back up where the dolls are. Everyone is losing it. Okay?
Like they're wanting
showing,
to get out?
They're showing Gertie and she's sobbing. She's got mascara everywhere. She starts throwing up. People are taking, then they flash to Lars and she's like
taking selfies.
And,
what?
Marisol's like, it smells like death. We got to get out of here. And she's like running to the boat. And then Adriana's walking, trying to like not crack her heels. And they're like, we have everyone. Let's go. And everyone's like, Adriana. And she's like, it's so weird. They're all losing their goddamn minds. The gondola. And then as Gertie's vomiting, this other gondola pulls around and the mariachi band's on it. And then a dog starts barking. And the way that they edit it together, and then they flash to Alexia's confessional. And she's like, it's very chaotic. I love the bros so much. Marisol and Alexia, yeah, they give me
all that.
It
energy.
Is just such a vibe. I'm like, make me a bros.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make me a bros. Okay. So that was really funny. I was dead over that. It was last week's episode. Not much happened. Julia spells Adriana's name wrong on the sign for her performance. It says Viva Adriana, but it has an E instead of an I. And it's for her performance in front of 200,000 people.
Oh, no.
And she's Miami on fire, fire, whatever the song is. The song's lit, but I don't really remember the tune. So that was funny. But then it pops off because the Kiki and Lisa situation on the gondola is addressed. Kiki opens up and she's like, what you don't understand is when you said, like, it's just chicken, I'm feeding these dogs, what they're eating is better than what they're being fed. Kiki starts opening up about where she's from in Haiti. She was kicked out at 15. She's very vulnerable. And she was like, no one ever asks me about anything. I listen to y'all's problems all the time. I also have issues. She was kicked out at 15, like I said. They show photos of her going back to her childhood home. It is very much like those homes that we saw when they were
on the gondola.
That
they were all talking very lowly about.
Yes, and so she says to Lisa, like, I know that you're going through a lot, but you need to remember, like, you have your health. You have beautiful children. So money is not everything. Remember that. She's like, I have two children. I don't have a husband. Like, no one asked me, do you know what my son's? I love when these women now are saying, like, you, what is my kid's name?
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, 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 nah. I can't imagine filming a television show with someone who didn't know my child's name.
Yeah.
I really can't. Mm-hmm. And Lisa responds, it is not my job to heal your childhood trauma.
Oh, that's
I'm not a therapist.
What she's fucking asking.
Loses her mind, Kiki. Loses her mind. And she goes, Lenny leaving you is your fucking karma. And I'm like, oh, shit. We have gone there. I love Kiki so much. Because you know what? There are times, and I know you'll see this season on Vanderpump, where I obsess over my situation. And again, there's things that people don't know that we won't get into. But at the end of the day, it's important when someone like Kiki comes into the mix and they can remind you, you're healthy, okay? You live a beautiful life. And yes, this is not an easy time right now, but let's remember
that the dollar amount and where you're living is not everything. Because to see some of these women take it out of Miami, a lot of these places where they're like, I just can't live in 5,000 square feet. And I'm like, you fucking out of touch, bitch. Mm. Like, really? It is so off-putting and gross.
Yeah.
So I love when someone like Kiki points out, like, you've got a beautiful life. And right now it's fucking rough, but it'll be fine.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
For me, that's my mom. When I start, like, obsessing, and she'll obsess with me, but then she brings it back to, like, but let's focus on the positive. Ocean's healthy. You're healthy. Easton's healthy. We live a beautiful life. Like, look at the things we get to go and do. Look at what we get to experience. Like, all is good. This part will work itself out. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, there's that.
This right. too shall pass.
Right.
That's what I live. That's what I live by.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Beach was a little snoozy. Funny, Erica talks about Merce and the purse and becomes like the most, she's so drunk and knows everything about everything.
Everyone.
Everyone's sitting there being like, how are you so smart? She knows everything about all of these like historical moments in European history, American history. What's her name? Kyle Richards is like, she's like a drunk Rain Man. Like, how does she know so much? She's very intelligent. And you know what? She's like, I've had the luxury of being around like really smart people. And I'm like, so have I, but I don't retain shit.
Right. No, okay. Same.
You good.
Same.
She's smart.
She's very, yeah. I'm telling you, someone who can be around smart people and absorb and retain, like for me, you could tell me all the smart jargon in the world. And it's like, broop, broop, broop. Did you see Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Now that I retain, anyway, so, but we are getting into this last episode that aired last week. It'll come on tonight, BH, new episode. Kyle is starting to open up about her marriage. Anyway, you want to move on to Vanderpump?
Sure, if you would like to.
Yeah, let's do it.
You tell us where you want to go.
Well, you guys go for it. I mean, what you have notes, Jess?
I do. I have a lot of notes. So this is the scene, not this most recent episode. Are you wanting to go back 2 weeks?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Just to see. I have a couple questions.
Not much happened in last night's episode.
How are you feeling about the past two eps?
You guys, I'm always real and I'm always honest. The season's snoozy right now.
Just with the two.
Well, we're 3 episodes in now.
No, I'm saying past two. The first one was not. The premiere.
The premiere was great.
Yeah.
The last two episodes are snoozy. Mm. I feel like I have to acknowledge that because I don't want you guys to think that I'm living in La La Land or hustling you. I want you to remember we're trying to repair something that is very, very broken. So the last two episodes are very much setting the groundwork for what the season is going to be like. 2 weeks ago, it was Tom Sandoval heavy. We had to see where he was at, mm-hmm. right? I loved watching the scene between Lisa and Tom Sandoval and him being like, I just want it done. Mm-hmm. I want to move on. And I think we need to. Like, yes, he did this, but you guys, it's...
I agree he did this, but the one thing that he does need to do is take ownership. It is like the James thing, their conversation. He brought up...
Let me tell you something, Easton.
It's like just
and this is a tough pill to swallow for people, okay? And it took me a really long time and a lot of talking to people because Sandoval, it had nothing to do with me, yet it triggered me so fucking much because I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe he did this to my friend, but I couldn't believe he sat across from me and said all the shit he said to me. Let me tell you something. He's not taking accountability and ownership because he does not regret it.
Mm. And... Then come out and say that.
But I think in a way, he's saying, we don't have control over other people.
No, not at all. I'm saying on his end, he just needs to take accountability. He is like, when James, he brings up Kristen. It's
but
like,
in his mind, he's like, Kristen was my girlfriend, mm-hmm. and you fucked her. Like,
and we were
for
all
him, it is the same. Yeah. Now, but, me, when I hear it, I'm like, you got to let it go. I stand behind everything I said at the reunion. Mm-hmm. You got to let it go. But what I've learned from dealing just with needing to heal and let go is I can't control how other people see things.
Oh, for sure.
Nor is it my job to shed light. I can sit here and I can tell you how I feel all the live long day, but your perspective is going to be yeah. different than mine. And I have to make peace with that, or I will be banging my head against a wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emotions are personal. That's why you talk about them.
Correct.
So you can feel each other.
So,
but
yes,
that's one thing that
it is very annoying.
It is annoying as fuck to watch it. And all you have to do is take a little bit of accountability that he is not taking.
He didn't on. It was funny because he was on Nick Viall's podcast. Both the Toms were a couple. And it's a theme in his life. And I'm not like it just mm-hmm. It's just something I'm noticing with these scenes and him not taking accountability. Clearly. Always turning it on someone else. But the Nick Viall podcast, he was on it and he was super late. Sandoval was super late. Schwartz was there. Sandoval was super late. Immediately when he's questioned about being late, he goes, well, Nick, you were on my podcast a couple months ago and you were hours late. And Nick was like, no, I wasn't. What are you talking about? He ends up pulling up receipts and he wasn't late. Like, Tom was just like making it up.
Like,
and
he can't take accountability for
anything.
No,
and they kept it in the episode. And then also, he didn't take accountability. And I do like credit to Nick Viall. He was kind of pushing him back on this. He's like, dude, you're just not. He wasn't taking accountability on that episode. He's not in these episodes. And it sucks because a big part of me was like, oh, damn, he's going to come back. And I get it. He did the apology to Sheena last season. But, like, he's going to come back and he's going to be on this, like, working on himself and growth and blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, not happening so far.
No, all he's saying is, I want it to be over. It's like, well, then
yes,
maybe
I
take
understand.
A couple of steps towards that.
That being,
right.
yes. That being,
but, and I think
yeah.
you guys will see that. I think
I
right now
so.
It's like very much we're filming a reality TV show. Mm-hmm. I can't make something out of something it's not. It's awkward. We're not hanging out with him at this point in time. So, yes, it's a little bit like, why isn't anything happening? Well, let me tell you something. The group is extremely fractured 3 episodes in. Movement starts happening. Time starts passing, perspective, Lisa steps in and sheds some light. Things do start shifting. But yes, I just wanted to acknowledge that. And it is very annoying. It is very annoying.
Well, I can only imagine coming from
but that's
your
why
guys's
you say, you know
point
what? I'm going to make peace with the fact that you see things differently than me. I'm not going to hold anything against you. You stay over there. I'm going to stay over here. Just so you know, wish you nothing but the best. I don't want to light you on fire anymore. It's a little bit yeah. just like,
you
here you
goofy.
Are, here I am.
Yeah.
He moves goofy and you stay away from it.
That on that note, I do want to, I know it's further down the line in the most recent episode, I do want to touch on the trigger warning, the suicide part, because I found that to be, like, that's something that, like, if people know me, they know, like, I have a deep history with stuff like that in my family. So when he said, I was sort of in that Lisa boat of, like, when someone says that, you have to, I mean, I've learned, you got to take it seriously. You know, you can't really just be like, well, he's just trying, and maybe they are. Maybe they say things, but that's not for us to do.
I'm not going to be the judge and jury on if you mean that or not.
Yeah. No. So that was a thing. But
I like how Lisa said she'd rather reach out
100%.
Before it's too late.
Well,
and be like, is it something? Mm-hmm. And look a fool mm-hmm. if it isn't. Mm-hmm. I'd rather look a fool than it be too late,
yeah.
is what mm-hmm. I think she mm-hmm. said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that after that conversation, that's when certain people's feelings shift
mm-hmm.
this season.
Yeah, because I can imagine, I mean, I can't imagine, but when everyone's against you and you're getting threats and you're getting, I'm sure, the way that can take you to a dark place is probably pretty quick, especially if you're maybe alone or you were sharing this with someone and then that someone maybe stops talking to you, which is what we kind of learn. He hasn't talked to Raquel. And so who knows? But that's fragile.
And let's just go off what he's saying is actually the truth. It sounds that he was very much in love with Raquel. I'm going to take my own personal feeling away from it
right.
and what I have experienced in my life. And take it for just face value in what he says. it seems like he's bummed that things happened the way they did, but he does not regret it because he feels that he was no longer in with Ariana. He was disconnected. In his mind, he tried to have conversations with her that she maybe wasn't accepting. I don't know if that's true. Again, this is just what he's saying. And he had found his person in Raquel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he doesn't regret it.
And that's fine, but take the accountability and say, I really did this in a shitty way, and I should have done this in a very different way. Mm. And that is accountability. Because right
I wish
now,
it would. I wish I would have gone about it differently, but I'm sorry. I love her, and shit happens, and like, bye.
At least you can be respected because you're being honest. But when you're tiptoeing and shit like that, I can't come to you with, like, vision that you're not going to fuck me over because you're not even being honest in anything or taking accountability. So what, everything that you move about is silly to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't take you serious.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's
true.
The one thing. Take a bit of accountability. It might suck for a couple of months, but you'd be in a fucking better spot than you are right now. And you probably have some good homies, too.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
That's like the whole, the first step is admitting you have a problem. It's like, we get it. You're suffering mentally. Take accountability, and then let's work from there.
Yeah, if you come and cry to me and be like, I fucked up and I did terrible, I need help. I'm taking accountability. I would say, let's do it.
So on to a lighter topic. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
When I gasped audibly at the scene, I'm going to preface this by saying I fucking loved it. The scene, I've never seen that music video with Sheena. So we are watching, and Kyle and I are on the couch, and we're just like kind of, you know, whatever, it's fine. And then that flashback of Sheena and the like spanking, and Kyle and I went, and Kyle goes, dead serious, he goes, was she in a porn?
It was a little porny.
By the way,
I don't remember ever seeing this music video.
Bravo. That's a bad bitch. She's out. She's like,
I like when he was taking his hair, her hair, and treating it like she was a horse.
When I tell you, I have never lost it. I was like, what the fuck was that? And the boldness of the editors to flash back.
Oh, the editors are so bold.
I mean, that was incredible.
The
Bravo,
editors
Sheena.
Are bold.
Bravo. Holy
did she
shit.
Do porn? Oh my God, that
it
is
was good. It was good.
That is so funny. I'm totally fine leaving it on that note.
Okay.
I hope.
Let's do that.
And then what? What happened last night? We just get invited to Tahoe.
Last night we talked a little bit. Yeah, the Tahoe thing. We talked a little bit about the Lisa Sandoval.
Oh, Lisa and Sandoval.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered it all. Do we have an ache and relief of the week, everybody?
Ache and relief. Who wants to start?
I can start us. Or Easton, go.
Oh,
are you ready?
Yeah,
I didn't know if you were teed up.
No, my ache and relief is the same.
Okay.
Oh, I like this.
My ache is Utah's done. We're out.
Oh,
the
state
house.
Of Utah.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant a basketball team.
No. The state of Utah. We have moved. We have one place left in St. George, but
Mom wants
home,
to hang on to it. But that's the second
reason,
home.
Yeah, but the house in Salt Lake City is gone, and that's a whole lot of memories and things like that. That's a huge ache, but I'm excited to go back. So it's like an ache and relief. I'm excited to go back and enjoy it.
And enjoy. You don't have to go back and
deal. I was painting homes when I'd go back. I was repainting fences. I was nailing shit into walls for different things. So I'm excited to go back, but it was an ache and relief. And also for my mother, who I'm very proud of, who did a lot of work and a lot of throwing away. And I know it wasn't easy for her. So shout
good
out to my
good for you,
mom.
Lise.
Yeah. Well, she called me, and I know she called you, Jess, as well, crying. Because she was like, you know, some of this stuff was my mom's, and it just feels so final that she's gone. I'm like, Mom, she died like 20 years ago.
Grace.
If it didn't feel final by now, I don't think it ever will. If we haven't accepted it yet.
She told me, too. She was like, are you sure, like, you don't want anything? I was like, Lisa, there's no memory of me seeing this. And she goes, but we'll put it in storage. I said, if you die and that's in storage, that's going delinquent.
No one's
done.
Yeah.
Not going.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
Somebody else's treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited because my childhood baby grand piano that my dad bought me, I finally have a place for in the new house.
Yep.
This is exciting.
So it's on its way.
A lot of stuff from Utah is coming to the house, too. So I think that will help.
Yeah. Jess, know. What's your ache and relief, my love?
My ache and relief is the same thing. So with Lala mentioning she moved into a new house, we will be moving out of our current offices at the end of February that you guys have seen on Vanderpump Rules that we recorded as the three of us the podcast in together.
That was my first one.
Yeah. And you know what? It's such that we like made friends with like Action Park and Loon and it was such a fun space, but I've never felt more, not done with the space, but like it's time.
You can say that.
Yeah.
You can say you feel done.
Yeah. It's time. It's time for us to be out of there. So yeah, ache that we're moving, but relief that it's time.
It is time. I feel like I'm finally creating roots of my own in LA. You know, I've always lived in an apartment until I got involved with my last whatever and then moved back into an apartment. And now it's like, wow, we're really creating a life. We've bought a home that I'm going to fill with children and family and
it's crazy.
Our stuff. It is crazy.
It's so it was weird being there watching the Super Bowl. I was like looking around. I was like
we're home.
This is like this is it.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Great.
Pretty amazing. My ache of the week is Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank said families need to have $5 million in the bank to survive no matter what happens. Well, Kevin O'Leary, I don't know if you've been out in these streets. It's kind of hard to just like get $5 million to just sit in a bank. So maybe if you feel that way, you should hand out $5 million to everybody. And that way we're all going to be okay forever. Please don't say stupid shit.
Yeah.
But I'd love for you to invest in the new company that I'm creating.
Yay.
We'll contact you.
Because I'd really like to have $5 million so I can survive through anything and everything. Just another out of touch person.
I know.
Out of touch.
Just a quick $5 million because you could survive anything.
For safety.
Shut up. Shut up,
first.
You billionaire.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I know. It's always the billionaire saying stupid shit.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, get back to where you came from. Have we forgotten?
How much is milk? Oh, I don't know. They don't know. No. I
do.
It's not
even
a lot. I know
how
much fucking milk is.
Me too. I'm out here.
Inflation isn't real. Milk is only like $12 a gallon. Shut up. Anyway. My relief of the week is Amber sent me a text while we were moving, and she was like, hey, Riley wants to call you. And I was like, great, I'd love to say what's up. Riley calls me, and she goes, can we take Ocean to the movie Migration? And I was like, oh, my God, do you know how helpful that would be for me right now? Because I have been moving with a toddler, like packing her up from apartment to house, take her to the movie. Just for her to, I texted Amber and I was like, how's the movie going? She goes, well, she told me how bored she was 10 minutes in. So we're at the house building a fort. And I was like, thank you so much. So
just honest.
The relief of the week was Amber taking my daughter.
Love that.
Okay. We've got like a real good modern
You've got
family.
A modern
They came
family.
Over for the Super Bowl yesterday.
They did.
The kids. Yeah. It was way
Amber,
fun.
Amber, London, and Riley.
The kiddos.
That is so fun.
It's
All
really
grown.
Cute.
No, I love it. I like them. I like their energy. I love
yeah.
them a lot.
She texted me the other day. She was like, hey, I'm running to Costco. Do you need anything? I'm like,
maybe
you know,
I'll go with you.
We really have a special thing going on here.
You really do.
We do. It's excellent.
I love that.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Give Them Lala podcast. Reminder, a new episode drops every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts. The video of this drops Fridays on YouTube at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And also a reminder, we do bonus episodes. Audio and video drops every single Monday. You're welcome. Have the best day. Love you. Bye.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.